Hi, I'm Billy.
I'm Stu.
And welcome to Geek of Oz Presents Read, Watch, Play, episode 17. This episode, we're going to be talking about Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. So there will also be spoilers, because we believe that's the only way you can talk about the film.
Lots of spoilers.
So spoiler warnings ahead, and also some profanity.
Yes, a little bit of profanity, and we'll be we've got a new guest on the show.
As well.
Friend of the site. Friend of me, possibly friend of you.
Friend.
Mr. Tim.
Quotation marks, friend.
So, acquaintance, maybe.
Acquaintance of the show. Yeah. So it's probably a good one.
Yep.
Roll the intro.
You are listening to Geek of Oz Presents Read, Watch, Play. We discuss all things pop culture, including comics, video games, TV, film, and anime.
So you saw it the other night, didn't you?
I saw it on Tuesday night.
Yeah. So you saw it, so we're here obviously talking Batman vs. Superman, the Dawn of Justice.
Yes, the Dawn of Justice, or Injustice.
And the good thing is, Billy, so you are the Marvel fanboy for our site.
I feel like I'm the comic dude.
Yeah.
With Christoph and Chris. Sorry, I forgot Chris.
The fourth amigo.
I forgot your name for a second there, Chris. But yeah, like, I have been called a Marvel fanboy over the past week and a half.
By me.
Yeah, and also a few other people, because I was disappointed with Batman vs Superman.
You were. But let's throw it over to our guest, Tim. If you were the president and CEO of Warner Brothers Studios, are you happy with BVS as it is at the moment? As a company, do you reckon you'd be happy?
Look, from what I've seen, it's been doing numbers. It's what, the sixth highest grossing opening?
Yeah, I think it's sitting at about $480 million a week.
See, the thing is, I read some... a lot of critics were coming out with the stats as well to try and defend their reviews, I noticed online. A lot of them were saying, like, stats like that tend to drop off after the Monday type thing.
Yeah, so it's about 180 box office domestically and about 300 worldwide, roughly.
Look, if I'm looking at it from a business perspective,
yeah,
as a CEO,
yeah,
if it's doing the numbers, then that's probably all that matters. From a personal perspective, I obviously don't know what he's thinking about the film,
yeah,
personally. Obviously, it's been on the radar. It's been, you know, on the works for a while. I think it's, from what I can see, it warrants, it's probably already on to a sequel. Yeah.
Yeah, well, this is setting up. This has got to...
For the Justice,
League. Well, so this is the cornerstone. We had Man of Steel leading into this. We've got Wonder Woman coming next year.
I have an opinion that it was Man of Steel.
Yeah.
They're going to do a Man of Steel sequel.
Well, this is the Man of Steel sequel.
Well, I always thought they were going to do a plain sequel, and then they...
then shooting Batman.
Yeah, and then do the Justice League stuff. I always thought, like, they sort of changed their minds after Marvel released that. This is what we're doing over the next 10 years.
Well, the slate...
Then DC did, this is what we're doing over the next 10 years.
Because DC's got... They've got about 12 projects coming off the back of this.
Like, I feel like it was initially going to be Superman 2, but then they changed it. Now let's do a backdoor to Justice League.
Do you think that was in response to what Marvel were doing with Avengers?
Possibly.
They're just playing catch-up there.
I don't know how Hollywood works.
Yeah.
We're doing this, we should do that type thing.
The funny thing is, like, Warner Brothers is massive, and they've got some big things in the pipeline and also in their arsenal. Like, they still have the rights. I think they'd still have, like, the rights to things like Harry Potter franchise, because that was them. So at any time, they could possibly reboot that.
I will give Warner Brothers... they're in a better position with their intellectual property than Marvel, because Marvel was going bankrupt, and then to save them years and years and years,
in the 90s. Yeah.
So what they did to recover, they sold the rights to movies,
X-Men
to Columbia,
Deadpool,
Spidey to Sony, and a few others. A few other companies, like Lionsgate has one or something.
But they're getting a lot of them back.
Yeah,
they've got Ghost Rider back, they've got Blade back. They've got more or less have Spidey back on this new show.
Like, one of the villains for Fantastic Four is owned by another company, so it can't even be used by Fantastic Four.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
So well, at least DC own all their characters.
I reckon after how bad Fantastic Four did, there's a chance I'd be able to get that back.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, but why would you want it back?
Because if it's done right, they could then... Because it's only going to increase the cinematic universe. Because you think if they've got... They've already... Not to go straight away from DC to Marvel, but Marvel now have this massive universe mapped out.
Yeah.
Which the Fantastic Four would sit very nicely in because we've
if already, they even do a number two.
If yeah, if they do it. But going back to DC, you're still excited to watch... You'll watch Snyder make another...
I wouldn't watch the third one. I thought there was enough in... this current one for me to be intrigued. I think it was by no means a great film.
Right.
But I don't think it's a terrible film either. I don't think the bad reviews that it's been getting is justified. Because for me...
They are or aren't justified.
I don't think they're justified. I don't think the film is as bad as people have made out to be. I've read some of the reviews and some of the remarks on why it's a bad film. But essentially for me, I've only watched the first Avengers, and I kept comparing it to there. I think for me, Avengers, yes, it was a better film. It was more fun to be had, but I don't think they're leagues apart. And I know that a lot of people would disagree there.
In terms of tone or just the actual
concept? Just the film overall, in terms of the production values, the acting, the scripts, the dialogue. Look, I think, yes, Avengers was a superior film, but I don't think they're worlds apart as people have been.
Saying if say someone like a Josh Whedon wrote Batman vs Superman, you'd have not a very deep like he'd probably be able to get something dark. Well, he'd be able to get something similar. He would have been able to turn it into
Josh Whedon can do dark.
I'm a big
fan of Josh Whedon. I watched I was a big Buffy fan, and he's done some very dark episodes or entire seasons of Buffy where it had a very dark tone.
Well, I think you didn't see Age of Ultron, did you?
The
second Avengers, it went for a slightly darker tone and it didn't quite sit.
That's where it's all going. The new Captain America looks very dark.
Yeah, but I think more serious rather than dark. I think Batman and Superman really held that kind of this is capital D drama.
Mm.
And it doesn't quite, I don't know, it was quite a tone that sort of goes, you sort of stop and go, wait a minute, isn't this about Batman versus Superman? Do we have to be, super gritty all the time? And we're looking at things now, it's how gritty is he as Batman as a vigilante? Well, now instead of just catching them and beating up the crooks, he now brands them.
Yeah,
and it's
and he shoots them and he blows them.
Well, that's what I noticed for the first time. He actually shot
and killed.
He never used guns before.
No, that was his style.
In a movie.
He's not known for kill. Like that was his whole thing before.
Well, this is the thing. If you talk to some comic people, they'll say in this story or in the early 80s, 70s, whatever stories. He shot someone randomly, whatever. But, even in this comic that they've referenced heavily for this movie, which is...
Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight Returns. It was a Frank Miller book.
Yeah.
He only shoots someone once.
Yeah.
And that was because they were about to, kill someone.
So they... Noble cause.
But the rest of the time, he uses, rubber bullets. His Batmobile shoots rubber bullets.
Yeah.
And he even, there's this... scene where he holds up a gun and breaks it in half. It's this is the tool of the bad person.
Well, didn't we see the bit of that in the Christian Bale Batman? Wasn't he doing that bending? He was bending guns. I think in the beginning of Dark Knight when they're fighting in the car park, he bent the baddie's gun.
And at the end where he shoots the gas grenades.
Yeah,
I get that, but that's sort of a different way. In the comics he'd throw pellets from his bloody belt or whatever. But that's not really in a movie. That's not really
And functional. Obviously, I'll reiterate. This is we're going into some spoilers here because I think it's the only way to talk about it. And if you haven't seen it by now, you're either not going to see it because of the reviews or
don't listen to the podcast until you watch it.
You'll wait for Blu-ray. Mm. I just feel like they didn't really do much. In terms of the basic stuff where you ask anyone on the street, how would Batman fight Superman? Everyone says, Superman would kill him easily. Everyone's head goes to...
Kryptonite.
Well, he gets kryptonite. And so they're like, all right, well, how do we do that? Okay, we weaponize it. And that I didn't actually mind, the gas bombs.
Mm.
And I was it sort of reminded me back to that. I was, growing up, I liked the old Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
The old... Superman TV show. Mm-hmm, yeah. And it was a bit like the RoboCop TV show, because it was really simple. You'd have RoboCop or Superman would have their power. Mm. Then someone would go Kryptonite. He'd lose his power up until about minute 18 of the show. Mm. They'd somehow get him away from the Kryptonite and he'd come back and save the day. Yeah. And so this fight was very much similar. Like, they would sort of have a little bit of dialogue, not much. Mm. He'd hit him with a Kryptonite. They'd fight a bit. Mm. He'd about to do something. He'd regain his strength. He'd fight back. But it didn't. They didn't do much more with the mechanic of it outside of that. Like, I was sort of hoping they would, like, have... Because the motivations, I wasn't too sure why...
Like, in the comics...
Well, I wasn't sure why they were fighting.
Well, that's the thing. Like, in the comics, Lex Luthor would have a kryptonite green. That's why Superman would never be able to touch him.
Which is fair enough. Like,
which is kind of cool.
I think that's one of the things they set up really well, why they were fighting. For me, it was obvious why they were fighting.
But why are they fighting?
Well, it was Batman was pissed off at Superman for just thinking he was God and doing what he wants, right? Because he was ruining the whole city.
Yeah, because he trashed it.
Someone with powers unchecked.
But then, okay. Then why is Superman against Batman? Only because he's a vigilante?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. He's
retaliation to what Batman thought of him, right?
Yeah, no, he was hearing more about Batman. And he doesn't, like, you know, he's a thug. He thinks of Batman as a thug.
But surely he's seeing all that. Like, this is my problem. The film only shows leading up, like, apart from the Zod fight, it only really shows Superman doing really public good things. Mm. Like, he's saving the space shuttle.
Yep.
And they never address, like, Batman going, yeah, I get it. He's doing good stuff now, but there's a potential he could do bad. Because they never put him in really any sort of ambiguous positions. And same for, like, Superman never looks at it and goes, I can't believe it, there's this guy beating up criminals. Like, how would he not see that as a bad thing? He killed that African warlord. Isn't he doing the same thing on a global, like, aren't they basically doing the same thing? That's what I couldn't get my head around. I think there was a simpler way for them to try and find a conflict, but...
I actually think... Well, that wasn't the confusing thing for me. I was struggling to understand Lex Luthor's motivations.
Yeah.
I missed that bit.
Yeah, like, to me, he came across like he was... Okay, so in any other iteration, he's pretty much someone who craves power.
Who
is? Likes to be Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Mm. He craves power, lots of... In this... It didn't really come across like that. It was more like he was craving a little bit of power, but it was like he came across very jealous. And, you know, he mentioned his dad at one point. I thought, okay, what, is he a spoiled little shit with daddy issues type thing? He came across, you know what, he came across like the fucking Social Network.
Well, I think that's why he was cast, isn't he?
Like, yeah, he came across a little bit like that.
Yeah.
A bit too much like thinks he's better than everyone, which Lex does. But it didn't get the whole, like, you know, he craves power type thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they released a deleted scene, which kind of is meant to hint at what he was saying at the end of the film to Batman in the jail cell. And kind of explains it a little bit better, but it's still...
And what's that? What does it refer to?
So, the deleted scene is these cops going through the alien ship.
Yeah.
With, you know... like a SWAT team.
Yeah. Is this set after...
So it's set literally after... Doomsday's dead.
Yeah.
And they find Lex in the pool looking at some, like, big thing with horns and three boxes in front of it. Like, and it's a hologram. And, like, you know, he's sitting in this thing and it's looking like he's sitting in a pool of blood, which is that pool where Doomsday came out of.
Yeah.
And then, like, he turned to them and they're like, you know, all these lasers are on him because they, you know... don't move or whatever, and they take him. I think what they're trying to make out is the big bad for, you know how Marvel do Thanos and all that? There's like that, the big bad overall.
What is DC. There? Is that
his name? Darkseid.
Okay.
And the thing is that hologram wasn't really, that's not Darkseid. No one really knows who it is. They reckon it's someone else, but those things that they're holding, they're called like Mother boxes, which is in the DC comics, it's like a supercomputer.
So
and one
like
of them was that it was
the
in
cyborg.
That, yeah, the cyborg. It looks a little bit like the cyborg.
So it's like the Tesseract in the
Avengers. So like Luthor was kind of learning about all looking at all that, and I'm thinking, Luthor's And what he said at the end, I'm thinking Luther is like, you know, there's all these bad stuff out there in the universe type thing. I'm trying to, you know, get prepared for it. That's why he made Doomsday. But it's like, still, it's kind of a shit.
The problem is they leave it, it's fairly ambiguous, and you've got to bring a lot of your own, you got to sort of bring your own knowledge of the sort of mythology.
And that's just me and someone who knows comics. Like, you guys don't.
Well, and that's the thing, you've got to bring a lot of that to yourself. It's either you bring knowledge of Smallville or you bring knowledge of other properties.
Even then, Lex Luthor was very different in Smallville.
But the other thing I'm looking at is The Dark Knight was, I think, looked up before, it was like 1 minute longer than Batman vs Superman. They're each 2.5 hours, roughly.
Mm,
yeah. And I'm like, how tight The Dark Knight is, and it's always engaging.
I enjoyed Dark Knight more than Batman. Oh, of course. Superman.
It's
not the best of the series, but I still...
Really? What's your favourite?
Which one's Dark Knight?
The middle one.
The middle one.
The
one with the
end one. No, that's Dark Knight Rises. But you see what gets done in Dark Knight in terms of introducing Joker, introducing Two-Face, and resolving all the stuff with the mobile phones and the tracking and the negotiating with terrorists, that sort of stuff. And you go, we've had that, and that was not that long. That's what, maybe 6 or 7 years ago that came out? Maybe 2008?
It feels like what I've told you before. This just feels like they've filmed... How long was the film?
Two and a half hours. Yeah,
it felt like they've filmed 3.5 or 3.
Yeah,
and they've edited badly.
Like, if you look at the way, everyone's praising Wonder Woman in this. I don't think she even got to do much.
It's just the entrance that she made, right?
Yeah, but I mean, compared her to what they did with Catwoman in Dark Knight Rises, I think Catwoman had Anne Hathaway had a far bigger impact.
Yeah, but I think for me, firstly. Chris Nolan and Zack Snyder, two very different directors. And also, I think the two films were made for two very different audiences.
Yeah, but aren't they?
Nolan's a storyteller, and Zack Snyder, for me, is more very effects-driven. It's more about the effects for me.
But aren't they catering to the same... aren't they still catering to the Batman and Superman fans? Aren't they meant to be?
Yes, but look, what I got a lot of watching Batman and Superman was, it reminded me, those battle scenes where they're, you know, just bashing the crap out of each other, just reminded me of Transformers. Just big things.
Yeah.
Not that Superman and Batman are that big, but just big kind of fight scenes where they're just ruining the whole city and things are just blowing up.
But you never got a sense that anyone was in danger. Except, despite the fact that Superman dies.
Spoiler alert.
Well, I mean, it's...
Did he die?
Well...
Spoiler alert.
That's the other thing that annoyed me about this. But you never really got a sense that, that one of them wasn't coming back.
Yeah, well, but that's the same with every bloody superhero. They never kill off superheroes.
Well, Avengers, Age of Ultron, they did.
But see, the thing I didn't like is, you know, in every iteration, you hear him slowly swoop in type thing. You know, he was there on Lois's balcony.
Yeah.
You know, he could slowly float away type thing, but no, fuck it, I'm going to sonic boom away and, you know, shatter some fucking windows.
And that just... Leaving,
Dude!
Yeah, the neighbours don't know. They go...
You're not hooking up with Lois. You're sonic booming away. Come on.
That's the same as, the bloody comic, the superhero landing, right? Is that necessary?
Yeah.
It's like they make fun of it in Deadpool. He's going to do the superhero landing.
Yeah. But it's so... After seeing that in Deadpool, it's so true how much... It's true, though. Wonder Woman has... Did she get a superhero landing?
Superman did at least one that I remember in the...
Well, hers when it was landing with the shield and blocking the shot.
That's her big one.
And her heavy synth. I like her theme, but I thought it was used way too much.
I liked it, yeah.
Yeah, I just felt like it was Hans Zimmer classical music, and then it didn't mesh well.
Junkie XL, I think it was they collaborated.
Was it playing homage to the original Wonder Woman, the soundtrack? Because I haven't seen it.
What is the original? She's never been on a movie before.
TV show?
She had the TV show. Yeah.
Was that,
maybe, I don't know.
I didn't watch it.
But it's a strange, I don't know, it just feels like an odd way for them to, for the things they've got to take into it, like their bigger universe, it just seems like an odd way to...
Should we talk about what we did and didn't like?
Yeah, I think we've got... We
have a fan mail from Travis. He's...
The first ever person writing in.
He's written a few things, and he said, look, just feel free to pick and choose. So I'll... Okay, so he goes... The Man of Steel Superman is an asshole. He's an asshole because Jonathan Kent questioned whether he should have saved a busload of school kids. I mean, in this film, he kills the African dude by pushing the African warlord.
I would imagine so.
Yeah.
If he's not dead, he's Mighty Sore.
Yeah, and then apparently he lies about it later, or he didn't. Or he goes, "Oh no, I didn't kill anyone." Like, I think he said that to Lois.
Did he?
Yeah.
And she went, Clark, you know I was there, right?
Yeah.
I was literally right there.
And it was like, inside, he just went through a wall.
Yeah, he took him straight to a hospital. Yeah. He went through a wall and down to the...
During the hearing, it's shown a lot of people in the city are really angry with him. Government even sends up, you know, throwing nuclear bombs at him, a missile. But at the end, he's given, like, grand funeral and everyone's mourning him.
Yeah, see, that's what I couldn't understand is we went from building a statue to him to an explosion happening at the Senate hearing, to all of a sudden we're all against him again, and we're burning effigies, the Superman effigy. And
how's that different to Dark Knight, where they will turn against the Batman?
No, well, I think that's because he's getting reined in by the terrorists. Like, the terrorists are using him and saying, like, forcing him to negotiate. But what I'm saying with this, all we've seen is, like, good acts by him, and then one explosion, and all of a sudden it's like, no, this Superman's bad, and it's like,
it will turn easily.
But and that's, I guess that's the point we're making, but you never really get a sense, like, he could have, I don't know, I think I would have liked to see him actually come out of the fire and go, hey guys, this wasn't me. I swear, I was here to give evidence.
Batman has a nap while waiting for a file to decrypt. And the whole "do you bleed" interaction with Superman is worse than it is in the trailer. Like, he looks up at Superman and says, "Tell me, do you bleed?" Superman looks at Batman like he's a crazy person, then flies away. Batman's still staring at the sky and says, "You will." Like,
no, but
who the
fuck's
he talking to?
No, he's talking to Superman because his hearing's so good. He can just whisper it because you will.
He's hearing everything.
Yeah. Except Lois, who's like underneath the rubble later on. He doesn't know where that is.
Batman and Superman's grievance is resolved when he realizes his mother has the same name as Superman's. Mm. Batman will not suffer any more dead Marthas, apparently.
Yeah, well, there's been too many.
Yeah. Mm.
How many Marthas is that? So it's only one.
It's Martha Kent and Martha Wayne.
No, but how many actually died? Just one. His own mum.
Yeah, at the beginning, in that really slow intro.
Yeah, I didn't quite get what Snyder was going for with the, like... Like, going into, like, we get the gun POV shot.
Fantastic. I have problems with that. Because, like, you know, in your right mind, like, if you're there with your kid and your wife, I wouldn't throw a fucking punch at the dude who's holding the gun. Fuck that.
Probably not.
I'd give him, like, what he wants and then tell him, you know, piss off.
Yeah.
Or shield my kid or my wife.
I'd throw young Wayne at the gun and take the wife and Martha and run away.
And, like, but he leans in, which I didn't even know that he was going to play Bruce Wayne's dad.
Yeah.
What's his name? The actor?
Isn't it the guy from Watchmen? Who's the Joker? I don't know.
Yeah. Alright, so... worst interpretation of Lex. Mentions everything he has came from his father. So, like, who is Lex? Is he Sinus? Why does the government agree to do his wish list? He comes across like a younger, more neurotic Donald Trump.
But the problem is, as well, is now... this could be the same thing with, like, you know, like we've seen with Force Awakens, we've seen with Man of Steel, with Avengers. These are ongoing stories.
Hmm.
So just because we didn't get it necessarily in this film,
maybe we get the story further on down.
But the problem is now we have to wait, you know, 2 years.
Because
Wonder Woman's not going to be able to address this because it all happens in the past.
So 90% of what he says is incoherent gibberish that doesn't match the preceding dialogue with the situation he's in. I get that, but that's kind of like what you're saying about, you know, the bad editing.
Sounds like our podcast.
Yeah, but the bad editing, like the bit where he goes, the Reds are coming?
But I think he's meant to be playing this almost like socially awkward super genius who just says the wrong, like his speech when he's at the library thing.
Mm. The future members of the Justice League are introduced via email attachments.
Oh.
And the email attachments have little logos for each member. So, like, Lex Luthor's kind of designed their logos for them. It's like, that email from Batman is like creepy stalker email.
Is that the most dramatic way that anyone's ever read an email, line by line?
And it's like he was live typing the email.
This photo is not yours. It is you. What? And she only reads one line. She has to scroll down to see the rest of it. And I love the double take on the photo just to make sure we got that it was Chris Pine and her. Like, it's... Yeah.
The good parts, he has said, Batman punching Superman until the kryptonite gas wears off. Yeah, that that's good. Wonder Woman fighting Zod's day and the smirk she gives before jumping in. Basically, all the Wonder Woman parts are his favourite bit.
Yeah, that's fair enough. I mean...
I'm going to put it out there. I really enjoyed Ben Affleck as Batman, as Bruce Wayne and as Batman.
Yeah.
But I just think he was given shit dialogue and a shit story.
Yeah.
That was great dialogue.
I think he...
And the masking of the voice.
Which they made a joke about that, the voicing as well, when they were...
Yeah, the microphone.
Yeah. It was a problem. Yeah. The other thing I found funny is, how big is Batman's tech? Like, where's he been? Like, the thing, the tracer that he puts on Lex's computer is like a giant brick phone that he's like... And the other thing I don't understand, and this is some of the problem I have with the writing of some of the action sequences. When he goes to the docks because he's trying to track the kryptonite, he shoots a homing beacon onto the truck, then attacks it, and starts blowing everything up to try and get to it. I would have thought there was a more subtle way just to track it and then follow it to where it goes.
Well, another part of that
Did he want to chase it and for them to think that they got away and he didn't know? It just seems like a weird thing of showing your hand.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, Superman stopped him from chasing them. I'm like, okay, why didn't Superman go and chase off the dudes shooting bazookas?
Yeah, or why didn't he...
He just went away. Like, he let them leave.
It just seems like an odd thing. And it seems like an odd time for Batman to go, no, dude, like, I know you're a bit of an alien, but... I was chasing some kryptonite. Oh, you were. Like, it just seems like a time. And even before their fight, they seemed like they were available to have dialogue that just they both of them went. Like, he could have rocked up and said, "Hey, my mum's on the line. Can you give me a hand here?" And he's like,
"Oh yeah." And the other thing about like where that kryptonite goes, like, okay, you're Superman. Like, you wouldn't help them move that bloody huge ass ship out of Metropolis.
Yeah.
Somewhere. Yeah. Like, the government wouldn't want it, like, you know, in the version of Area 52.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Or even the one that's in the... No. Was it in the Pacific Ocean?
No. It the one that was in... We have to put this right next to the buildings where everything went wrong. But didn't we just lose a half a city because of this guy? No, it has to be really
close.
And
we're
going to
let Lex experiment in the city.
Yeah, yeah, because he's got magic bullets that he designs.
Maybe you can nitpick all these little things. What about the most glaring, obvious thing that didn't make sense? In the sense of how the hell does anyone not realise Clark Kent was Superman?
Even in this, like the Christopher Reeve one.
I don't think superhero films are supposed to really make that much sense.
But Christopher Reeve looks like he is nerdy. He stumbles over. That's the thing, yeah. He actually looks a lot different.
Even Dean Cain, when he was doing it, he was a pretty good, like you couldn't really tell. Like, he stumbled and everything, and, you know, his klutz, and he's awkward
though,
and everything.
Like, say your old mate working in the Daily Planet. You work with Clark Kent every day, and then you're working on articles about Superman every day.
Yeah.
Do the two not connect?
Yeah, like, yeah. And it's not like he actually, like... Like, that's the thing. Christopher Reeve, in the way he could...
Surely to Clark Kent. You look like Superman.
Well, but that's it. Like, Christopher Reeve wore these sort of fairly loose-fitting suits, and he looked a bit...
Like, dressed
quirky.
Like a dork.
Yeah. Mm. And Superman was smooth for the 1978 movie. But this is,
but,
like...
I mean,
Clark Kent looks...
check shit. He's like...
He looks pretty... And they're like, do you work out?
No, not
at all. Like, really? Because
a journalist.
Just riding here at night, like,
I would have liked to see more of the journalistic side of the, like, because that's part of it as well. That's part of this thing.
And I'm like,
him and Lois working on a story type shit.
And I thought print media was dying.
I didn't think they
did address it. I
didn't think they can just have helicopters.
They talked about it. Goes, they go, we don't have budget. We don't have.
And then she goes, get her a helicopter. It's like, what do you mean?
Not for work.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine.
Well, then have a helicopter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you mean the helicopter that's on the roof? Oh, yeah, you can have that. I'm like, it seems like you had a helicopter just sort of waiting there. Which, again, they are nitpicks, but these are things that you shouldn't. I don't know. Like, it feels like if it's a better film, the nitpicks shouldn't.
Well, see, I didn't hate it. I was just disappointed.
Yeah, I think the potential, I guess, and this is the problem now in terms of like the reboot cycles that we're in.
Mm.
We're kind of like, especially for a certain generation, like this will take, same with Marvel, like it's going to take probably what, maybe 5 or 6 years of the cycle before everything's out.
Mm. Yeah.
Then they'll have to wait a little while and then it's going to have to start again. So for like the next foreseeable while, this is the version of where it's going, which is sort of, if you're not on board now, like I could honestly, I may not watch other DC stuff straight away. I might wait to see what it's like. People go, no, this is a good one. Mm. Just because I didn't have that fun like I had with Ant-Man.
I'm looking forward to non-Snyder.
Like, yeah.
So Wonder Woman.
Well, Aquaman. Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't mind someone just like what someone else is like playing in this universe. Whereas we've seen, you know, as much as I like Watchmen, I know you're a big Dawn of the Dead fan.
Loved Snyder. I think it was a missed opportunity, but Dawn of the Dead was incredible.
Did you like 300?
Watchmen was 100% exactly like the comic.
Yeah.
I heard it was very true to the...
Yeah.
Which I like. I like Watchmen up until I don't. I think the endings have got some problems.
I like 300.
Yeah. Thought endings are a bit weak.
Yeah, but stylistically, I liked what he did with it.
Yeah.
Because it was very different for the, you know, when it was released. It was, we hadn't really seen anything like that.
No.
From maybe, I don't know, it reminded me a bit of Sin City.
Yeah, I think it may have just beat Sin City out by, because they were, did he, oh no, it's Rodriguez made Sin City. But I think they were all using that same green, like, shot on screen screens.
Well, I like his style, and I know, you know, we talked about Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
A lot of people didn't like that film, but
I still haven't seen it.
But Sucker Punch, again, feels like that could be a really good, not short film, but like a really good 45 minutes, like, concept. Like, that feels like, again, dragged out for, like an hour and a half longer than it probably, like it's bits, it's gorgeous to look at, and what he does, I just feel the writing and the story just lets him down. I'd prefer him to come in, he just needs to be flanked by better writers, and I don't think Goya's a particularly strong writer.
A lot of people have jumped on the, you know, Snyder bandwagon, like, okay, great, he is the director, yes, but there are other people involved.
Oh, there's a lot.
Making the film. And like the blame, if you absolutely hated it, the blame shouldn't fall on. Just, well, I get that he's the director, but he doesn't have the 100% all say so.
Well, yeah,
the and producers, it's, and I mean the writer wrote the material.
And again, he is only now a cog in this multiple film machine. Universe that's going forward, regardless of.
I'm
like,
sure the executives have said, like, no, you need to have this.
Well, look,
you need to have this cameo.
This is why we lost Edgar Wright from Ant-Man, because he wouldn't play ball with Disney.
No,
so they got in. Patton, what's his name? They've got to, they can play, who will play ball and shoot it. So,
but I'm gonna say, like, was Ryan Reynolds and gang bounded by the same rules with Deadpool? Because
no,
I've got a feeling that they did the film exactly the way they wanted to.
Yeah,
that's
because
why it worked.
Yeah, because the stakes were different, but they don't have to fit into this bigger universe.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, they, because
when they connecting it up to X-Men,
well, it depends, because X-Men has to reboot now, because it's, he's not going to pop up. Apocalypse, the one coming out in May,
it's still in the past. Will possibly, this is like still current X-Men,
but that's what, but Daredevil is even joking about, where he says, are you taking me to Stewart or McAvoy?
Yeah.
He was taking the piss out of the whole genre,
and I think they realized that, like, Deadpool is very much like, he speaks to the third wall, that's
fourth wall breaking, but if X-Men Apocalypse wraps everything up and they reboot X-Men, Daredevil could then meet back up with them.
Yeah.
But they, at the moment, they're not got, they, I don't think, well, publicly they haven't said, here's our 12 movie slate, and he has to set up things. I mean, they're talking about the Cable coming into it, next, the Gambit film.
Yeah.
Deadpool and Gambit may be in the same, that sort of world, and then slowly bring the other X-Men in.
Yeah.
But same sort of thing. It was the freedom in that, and the fact that it didn't take itself so seriously.
And that's why it worked.
And that's why, and it was funny and fun. Yeah. This was not a fun film.
Get to
it's
the,
not a fun experience.
I think they just didn't get to the core of the writer. I don't think Goya got to the core of the character.
No.
Like, you have this rich, you know, history for a character. He's pretty much a Boy Scout.
Who? Superman or Batman?
Superman.
Yeah.
He's pretty much a Boy Scout. And, like, you know what, also, Superman and Batman, they're like two sides of the same coin.
Yeah.
Like, he's just more brutal.
But the problem, that's what annoys me, is that they never show, they could have, I'm not coming back, but they could have just shown better where there were some similarities. Like, for 2.5 hours, they could have worked out just a better way to show a better conflict instead of, just felt like a whole lot of series of them getting, like, getting brought together and we couldn't really work out everyone's motivation. But, you know, going forward, maybe it will explain it. I just, it's sort of weird that at the moment, sort of what we, the buzz that all came out of, and I know Star Wars is a much bigger property, but sort of the fun and the joy that everyone had coming out of Force Awakens and looking straight away going, not only because it finishes on that cliffhanger, but automatically going, I need episode 8 now. I'm not getting that vibe from everyone that they're going, I need the next installment of this film, of the Batman universe.
See, my thing is, I did walk out a little bit like that, but mine was also, you know what, I need the Wonder Woman film, because I really enjoyed Wonder Woman.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It'd be interesting to see her backstory, because that'll be like, she'll be almost like a Captain America, like coming back from the past. And
opposite to this, I really enjoyed this week, actually last, was it last night? No, I think it was earlier in the week. I watched, so there's the DC TV shows. There's The Flash, Arrow, Supergirl. Supergirl is on a rival network.
Mm.
But they made it so that Flash teams up with her in one episode. That episode was like, you know what? 100% opposite to this film. Light, funny, awesome, amazing. Like, I know that's not everyone's cup of tea, but it's like, you know, that's what a superhero team-up type thing should be.
Yeah, exactly. And they're much younger versions of the characters, aren't they? They're like, it's sort of...
Yeah.
But then again, and it's something we've talked about before, like how DC have this strange approach to their TV.
Yeah.
At least Marvel, again, are ahead of them because they've got Netflix and they're starting to lay these really interesting characters and stories. Like Daredevil, they've got Punisher, they've got Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, and Luke Cage coming soon. And
the Netflix stuff is much better than the actual.
But it just feels that they are just laying this really interesting foundation, whereas DC have, they're going to have different characters playing Flash at the same time.
Mm.
If Arrow comes into the Justice League, I don't know if he will.
Yeah,
but
he's not.
It'll be a different character.
They've said none of the people who play the actors on the TV are going to be in the movies, which is...
But it just doesn't...
For what reason?
Rights holders, different...
No, I think it's more like they feel like they're not suited. They actually came out and said like they don't feel that Barry, the guy who plays in this Flash, suits the tone of the film or of what they're going for.
Well, no wonder. I don't know. I tell you what, that little short... In terms of the short clips in Batman vs Superman, Aquaman is still not a proof of concept for me. That little clip, like
that
I got...
shit. Look, it's great to see him.
I got Flash. Flash,
like,
I'm like...
Dude, They all looked awkward a little bit. The only one that I thought was good was the cyborg one, because at least that's, you know, it's video footage of an experiment. Whereas the other one is like, Aquaman is like sitting there, I'm like, okay, what are you doing? You were hidden until you turned around and looked at the camera, and then you waited there for a little bit and then you shot it. I'm like...
But he also didn't look like... He kind of looked like he'd never seen anything from the outside world before, and you get the sense... No, but he would have. Like, he would have seen submarines and stuff. Like, he's not...
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, this thing, like, I don't know how they're going to go with his portrayal, but yeah.
So overall, I was not a fan.
I was not a fan.
You're not a fan. You give it.
I gave it 6.
6 out of 10.
Not
6
terrible.
Out of 10.
Well, let's just kind of say, look, I think the criticism that's been, you know, directed towards it hasn't been justified, because I think if you look at it, did it deliver on what it promised?
No.
Okay, let's look at the title.
Okay.
Batman versus Superman, right? What are you expecting?
Yeah, they didn't verse until the last half hour.
Well, it was a big battle scene, though.
But out of...
And even in that battle scene, you could hardly see anything. There's fucking red lightning everywhere.
Yeah.
Look, I think in terms of what they were saying they're going to deliver, right? I think it pretty much delivered. It was not a perfect film. It was pretty crappy dialogue. Very... kind of confusing storyline.
It felt like,
long. Yeah, like, I mean, we've held back on the nitpicking.
Yeah, well, yeah. Have we?
Dude, there is so much more I could nitpick. I am.
It feels like, we're saying it's Lois, like the worst thing.
Okay, no, Lois threw away a spear, yeah. And then somehow she, you know, wow, oh, I think the spear might be something relevant. I should go back and get. It's relevant to the end of the
it's
film.
It's not the worst film ever. It's just... I'm not mad, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, that's it.
I am. You
weren't looking forward to it to begin with.
No, I wasn't. My expectations were quite low, but I just went, you've got... And again, coming off the Nolan trilogy, coming off... Like, I enjoyed... Honestly, I enjoyed Superman Returns more than that.
Yes, I was thinking that on the
like,
train
at
ride.
Least
with Superman Returns?
The Brendan Roth one. There with Kevin Spacey.
Oh, that was only just the one, right?
Yeah, I watched that.
Yeah, I didn't mind that.
Because at least it
that
went...
Wasn't too bad.
Which was a weird homage.
Oh, it was. Like, it's got...
the other ones.
It's got problems, but yeah. I just went... At least it sort of... It went for something and just paid off a little bit better. Like,
Look, I mean, I was, you know, when I first announced that it was going to be this, I was like, okay, I was mildly curious. I was very disappointed in Man of Steel. I did not like Man of Steel. And a lot of people have said that to me. I'm like, oh, you didn't like this because you didn't like that. You went in. I'm like, no. I made myself get to a point where I'm like, you know what? My expectations are nothing.
Mm.
I'm going in this with a blank slate.
Mm. Yeah.
And I went in and I was like, you know what?
And you got given
fun,
a blank slate.
It's fun at some points. I enjoyed Wonder Woman. I enjoyed Batfleck.
Yeah.
It was, disappointing.
Wow.
I mean, even Kevin Smith hated it. Yeah. He was championing the new DC movie verse.
He loves anything. Yes. DC. Well, wrapping up, anything final? Final thoughts?
No, not really.
No, I'm good.
You're happy?
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Come again. Stay tuned to the site. Billy and I have a new show.
A new project coming up.
In the making.
Yes.
We're going to be moving towards a little spin-off show, which is... tentatively going to be a weekly show.
Yeah, attempt either weekly or fortnightly.
Yeah,
but think not Margaret and David, more Margaret and Margaret.
Yeah, I get. To be,
I'm in.
I get to be Margaret.
Can I come to the premiere?
Yeah,
I get to be Margaret. We are when she has the big earrings.
Yeah, that's it's her best time.
Yeah,
you called it. So we're going to be looking at doing. It'll be probably a weekly show. Looking at sort of it'd be. Probably one feature review, like a current release feature review, news, what we've been watching type show.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit like today, just sort of looking at
just more of a
trends.
More focus on media.
Yeah.
Like the movies and TVs.
Yeah. So just keeping people up to date with sort of what's at the movies. So stay tuned to the site. If you want to get either of us, it's Billy,
my Twitter.
Yeah.
So Aqualec.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you can reach us.
Email us, Stuart, Geek of Oz, Billy at Geek of Oz.
Or Facebook page.
Jump on Facebook. We are loving the feedback of late of just people getting involved and having fun. You want to plug anything? You want to plug your Instagram account? Do you need any more?
Oh, Quok's Kitchen.
Quok's Kitchen.
Not sure this demographic is right.
You're not after the movie-based people. You're more after the...
Foodies.
Oh, yeah. People like to eat and watch movies.
Yeah, what about the people that want to go get, like...
You can't really eat a ramen while you're in the cinema.
No, but you could before or after.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, we'll check out Quok's Kitchen. Underscore between Quok and Quok's and Kitchen.
So that's K-W-O-K underscore Kitchen.
Yeah,
Quok's Kitchen. Yeah, like apostrophe or just S?
No apostrophe. No apostrophe is on usernames and Instagram, mate.
Really?
Yeah, with it. Yeah.
I don't even have Instagram. Oh, I should get on it.
Yeah, with it.
I'm missing out on all these bowls of ramen.
That's it.
Well, thank you. This has been, episode 17? Yeah, we will catch you soon. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to Geek of Oz Presents Read, Watch, Play. We discussed all things pop culture, including comics, video games, TV, film, and anime.